Right, I'll go first. Right, this is going well. So I'm Louise Fletcher. I'm an abstract landscape painter living in Yorkshire. And I'm with Alice Sheridan. Alice?
And I'm in London. So we're both UK people. And I also paint abstracts. I didn't start off that way, but that's how it's changing, certainly over the last few years. And who knows what's coming next. And Louise and I met online, and we have met in real life. And at some point, we had this crazy idea, actually both of us independently, but Louise was the one that reached out and said, shall we make this happen?
And now we're wondering if it's such a good idea, but I'm sure it is.
Well, as always, I think it's the technology that's stifling a little bit, but I have to say it's helping enormously having two of us working on it.
Yes.
Because we kind of spur each other on, and you know when you've got somebody else to be accountable for, you can't kind of slunk away into the corner and not actually make it happen because somebody else is relying on you.
Yes, exactly.
But I suppose the question for people listening is, why did you even think that a podcast was a good idea for artists, and what are we going to be talking about?
Well, for me, when I came back to making art, I came back to making art about 6 years ago, and I was very lonely. I didn't have anyone to talk to about it. There was a group of active artists in this area, but they were very close-knit. They were, I wouldn't say it's snobby, but there's snobbery within the art world, isn't there? And a group of experienced artists who've exhibited in London and Paris and wherever are not going to welcome in someone who's struggling just to figure out who they are. And I wasn't making very good work. And so there was no way in for me for a community. And I looked at art clubs, but that wasn't right for me either. And when I finally found your group online, it was like a door had opened for me. I could ask questions of people who understood what I was talking about. And so for me, now that I have a big community of artist friends all over the world, and I no longer feel alone, but I know there are lots of people who do. And so I think for me, it's just about creating that space for other artists. Yes, we'll just be talking to each other, but hopefully within our sharing of our struggles and exciting things, other people will feel part of that community and will realize they're not alone. That was my motivation.
And we're going to create ways that other people can actually get involved and get in touch with each other too. But it's interesting to hear you say that, because of course that group that you're talking about of mine only existed because 6 months prior to that, I had felt exactly the same way. And 5 years prior to that, I was equally stuck working on my own. And it can be a very lonely business. But I do find that I listen to podcasts a lot. When I first started painting again, podcasts weren't so much of a thing. There was a lot on YouTube. But the problem with YouTube is it kind of sucks you in, and you're drawn to a screen and the visuals. And you have to be watching it or you lose attention. And it's somebody else's work. Whereas what I find really interesting with working on art-related matters is that you can have thoughts going on in the background. You can listen to people talking. I very often listen to Radio 4, which is a mainly talk, ideas, news, plays radio station here in the UK. And I listen to that because sometimes there's an idea that captures my attention. And it gives my mind the ability to wander off in one direction while my painting is continuing on its own. So for me, I think there's a very practical reason why podcasts can be great for artists. And you might think that having something that's visually based is better because we're going to be talking about things that you might want to see. But we're going to try and get around that by putting imagery in show notes on each of our websites. So when that comes up, there is a way that you can get involved in seeing things, but it's about the conversation really, because that also leaves space for you to add your own imagination and your own reaction to things.
Yeah. And I think for me, I listen a lot. I listen now to podcasts since we started talking about doing one, because I've been very late to listening to them. I used to listen to YouTube while I was painting in the same way that you listen to a podcast. And for me, it's very inspirational. I'll hear something and it gives me the idea to to write a blog post about that, which then influences a painting, or, and it can be on a totally different subject to art, but I do love listening to people talk about art, and I, and that's the other reason for me for this, is there isn't enough out there for me to listen to about art. So somebody said, if you want to, if you don't like something about the world, you need to go change it yourself. So I don't think there's enough content about art. So that's what I'm trying to do.
It's interesting, isn't it? When we were looking, we looked at, and we had all sorts of, you know, we looked up art podcasts and we were trying to work out the name, and lots of podcasts have art in the title, but they're not actually about art at all. And maybe we should talk a little bit about, are we creating a podcast just for artists to listen to, or are we hoping that there's going to be a wider audience as well?
I hope that it's going to be wider. I mean, because I think art can be in all walks of life. You can be an artist in the way you do your, I was going to say your accounting, but you probably don't want to be an artist in the way you do your accounting, but you can be creative in anything. And I think artists have a particular or a strong connection to their own creativity, but other people can connect to that through listening to creative people talk. And I also think, I hope it's for people who just love art and want to understand more about how it's made, right? Do you think, I think we could be interesting to those people.
I think that's true. I had a visit yesterday from a client, but his wife has bought paintings before and I have never met him. And it was very interesting because he was the one that got in touch and he said, I would like to buy something for my sister. So of course, when you sell paintings to one half of a couple, I think I always have this residual fear. What does the other person think about this? You know, yeah. Is this something that only one person loves and has brought into their shared home? Or does he think the same? And actually, so it was lovely when he got in touch and wanted to come and introduce somebody else. And they were both just fascinated to see inside the studio, to have a look at work that was shown on the walls. She wanted to know how work had changed over the years and what led up to the thing they were going to be buying as a present. So I think even as, you know, people who look at art or don't understand how it's done or where do the ideas come from or the materials or the techniques or what happens when we get stuck or could my five-year-old really do that in the cliched phrase? Maybe this is going to give you a few insights. And, you know, we don't have all the answers. We're probably going to go round in circles because very often the going round in circles is as much part of the process or is the process as, you know, getting to a final destination with anything. So we're not going to be founts of all knowledge here, are we? I don't think that's what we're setting out to be.
No. I think we're hopefully friendly voices and hopefully opening a window into our own lives and our own process, which should be interesting, or hopefully will be interesting to other people and maybe inspiring and maybe educational at times. But yes, I agree, we're not the fount of all knowledge. And I actually had somebody come to buy a painting a couple of weeks ago, and I was talking about my work, but she was interested in things I hadn't thought of. So for example, the painting she chose was on a canvas, and I mentioned, oh, I don't normally work on canvas. And when she chose that one, she said, oh, one of the things is you don't normally do this, so I really like that it's different.
That's interesting.
It really surprised me, and all her questions about the process. And when they left, they asked if I would write them an email telling them the story of the painting so they'd have it to keep and pass down, which was really quite moving. And what I decided to do actually is I'm making a book for them in blurb, because that painting went through tons of different iterations. So I've done an illustrated book to show.
That is a lot of buyer love happening there, making that book.
Well, they were lovely people, but also I thought, oh, how cool is it to have that record? But there
you as well. It's a great record.
So their interest in the process was really eye-opening for me. It wasn't what I would have thought they'd be interested in. So I think as our conversations develop, we'll find that we interest people for different reasons, hopefully.
I've got a question for you. Mm. So what do you, putting you on the spot here, what do you hope to learn from doing this together?
That's such a good point. And I was thinking of saying that before and it went out of my head. I don't know that I know what I'll learn, but what I do know is every time I've tried to do something to share my knowledge or my experience with other people, I've got way more back. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense.
So I don't know what I think I'll learn. I mean, I'll obviously learn a lot from you. For people who don't know us yet, Alice is further along in her art career than I am. So I learn from you all the time. But I learn from people who ask me questions, because then you have to think of the answer. And in thinking of the answer, sometimes you get somewhere surprising, don't you? What about you? What do you want to get out of doing this?
Well, apart from learning how to speak more slowly and not racing, I think I agree with you. I feel often that I get hung up when I have to come up with the solutions and the answers to things all by myself. And that can be a really tough part of working on your own. But I agree with you. Very often the ideas or the recognition comes from that spark that happens between two people, or when somebody suggests something and you can riff off an idea together. And it can take your own thinking up to a higher level than you perhaps would find easy to do on your own. So I hope you're going to push me just as much as I'm perhaps going to push you.
Okay.
And that will take us into new places, because this is the same as art, isn't it? You know, if you knew exactly where you were heading when you started, what would be the point in doing it?
Exactly. And so when we were planning recording this, I thought, should I write notes down? And then I thought, no, because if I write notes down, it's not a real conversation. And I want this to just flow and be natural and be interesting. And I think it can get too stilted if you try and plan everything.
Yeah, which does, I think, sometimes mean that we might have to put swear warnings in at the beginning.
Oh, right. Okay. Not for me, everybody. For Alice.
Oh, possibly for me from time to time. I will do my best. I will do my best, but if we have an episode like that, it depends how good we get at editing.
You know, the only reason it probably won't be an issue for me is I decided a long time ago that swear words sound really bad in a Yorkshire accent, so I just stay away from them. They sound much nicer in a nice posh accent than they do in my accent.
That's really funny. It took us a while to come up with a name, because we were really keen, because we knew that it would make a difference for us if it was something that we felt fond of and that didn't feel heavy and awkward to do. And I think we're going to cut in some of the previous conversations and names that fell by the wayside. But we hope you like what we've called it. So
yeah.
Let us know what you think of the name. And if you want to get involved, you can find me on Instagram at Alice Sheridan Studio. Or I run a Facebook group called The Art Explorers. Search for that and you can find it. Or
you can find me, Louise, at LouiseFletcher_art on Instagram. Or I run my own group called This Painting Life on Facebook. So just search for that and join both groups. They're both very different and they're both full of supportive and really creative artists from all over the world.
I think that's it for the first episode. Thank you very much for listening. There will be another one lined up ready for you to get stuck into. So we hope you enjoy, and possibly a little bit too early to subscribe. You might want to check us out for another episode first. Perfectly okay with that. But listen to the next one and see what we've got in store.
And then you'll definitely want to subscribe. Bye.
Bye. I just don't think the art life is interesting enough. It needs another angle somehow.
We have to just keep
like that word that was kind of art honey, or but not art honey, because that sounds like a stripper name.
Well, like the creative tortoise is that's that idea. It's two different things put together.
What about magpie?
then does that make us sound like we're just going around picking up things that don't belong to us? What
art collective?
Oh, then we sound like communists or something. I'm finding it hard to define exactly what it is, what we're trying to do, and therefore what we should.
Like rabbits.
It's a friend. It would let you do a really nice little bunny on our graphic.
I don't even like bunnies.